At least 39 people died in the storms. Several British trekkers remain unaccounted for. BBC News.
Now on BBC Radio 4, we continue our adaptation of Ernest Hemingway's classic novel, For Whom the Bell Tolls. High in the pine forests of the Spanish Sierra, Robert Jordan, a young American volunteer, camps with a band of guerrillas as they prepare to blow up a vital bridge as part of a Republican offensive during Spain's Civil War. At dawn, Robert Jordan is woken by the sound of an approaching enemy horseman who has followed the guerrillas' tracks in the fresh snow.
For Whom the Bell Tolls by Ernest Hemingway, adapted by Ed Heim. Part 2.
The young man slid over toward the ground, his right foot caught in a stirrup. The horse broke off galloping through the trees. There was a broad swathe in the snow where the man dragged, with a scarlet streak along one side of it.
Primitivo, go catch that horse. Who is on guard on top?
Raphael!
There's cavalry out. Get your damn gun up there.
Robert Jordan stood straight, buttoning his trousers and tightening his belt. He could feel Maria against his knees, dressing herself under the robe. That cavalryman did not expect anything, he was thinking. He was not following horse tracks, and he was not even properly alert, let alone alarmed. He must have been one of a patrol scattered out in these hills. But when the patrol misses him, they will follow his tracks here. Unless the snow melts first, he thought. As Primitivo returned with the horse, he handed Robert Jordan the rider's light automatic rifle with its ventilated barrel.
Look how they are armed. Look at modern cavalry.
There's modern cavalry over there on his face. Andres, strip him. Bring everything, all his letters and papers, and put them in the outside pocket of my sack.
Que caballo, más bonito. I will put him with the others.
No, he's made tracks into here. He must make them out.
True. Thou hast much head today, Ines. Pilar, give me the wine. There is gravity in the situation. I do not like to do this on water.
Have some grenades instead. You too, Ines.
Vamonos. Hey.
Roberto, can I go with thee?
No, help Pilar.
Kiss me if thou goest.
Thou art shameless.
Yes, totally.
Primitivo, vamonos!
The two men followed Pablo's track in a single file in order not to track up the snow. Once they reached the sentry point, he looked out across the narrow oblong, noting the height of the rocks on either side.
Primitivo, cut me pine branches and bring them quickly. Agustin, I do not like the gun here. Help me place it over there. Where is the gypsy who should be here?
I do not know.
Primitivo brought the pine branches, and Robert Jordan stuck them through the snow into the unfrozen earth, arching them over the gun from either side.
Bring more! There must be cover for the two men who serve it.
Now, with the sun up and the warm wind blowing, it was pleasant on the side of the rocks where the sun shone. El Sordo was out stealing us horses last night, Robert Jordan thought. God knows what will happen to him and his camp today if he left any trails for the fascists to pick up in the snow. If we can last through today and not have to fight, we can swing the whole show tomorrow with what we have. Not as it should be with El Sordo's band. Not as we would have done. But using everybody, we can swing it. God help us if we have to fight today.
Hola, Roberto!
The gypsy was walking through the rocks to the left with a high-hipped swing. His brown face was grinning, and he carried two big hares, one in each hand.
Shh, you son of a bitch! Where the hell have you been?
Sack these hares that made love in the snow.
There's cavalry out. We had one in our camp. He came through your post. If thou were not a gypsy, I would shoot thee.
I'm sorry, Roberto.
Listen to me. You cannot leave a post again like that. Never. I do not speak of shooting lightly.
Of course not. And another thing. Never would such an opportunity as the two hares present itself again. Not in the life of one man.
The gypsy picked up the two hares and slipped back through the rocks. Agustin and Primitivo came up with a brush, and Robert Jordan built a good blind for the automatic rifle. He placed Primitivo high in the rocks to the right, where he could see all the country below.
Primitivo, do not fire if you see anyone from there. Indicate the direction and the number. See that you are not seen.
Yes.
If I can throw a grenade...
Wait for the gun. Do not attack until the Machina has spoken. It may be that cavalry will come searching for their comrade and still not try to enter. They may follow the tracks of Pablo. We do not want combat if it can be avoided.
Mi voy.
Robert Jordan looked out across the flat opening and the slopes of the hill below. Two crows circled overhead and then lit in a pine tree below. Robert Jordan, watching them, thought, those are my sentinels. As long as those are quiet, there is no one coming up through the trees.
Thou, Agustin, this gun, you must fire only when you are sure that they will be heading to the cave. If there is an officer, shoot him first. I will be here covering your left. If they should come, it would be possible to make a massacre, but you must not fire until they are closer than that rock.
All this time, he had been watching the crows. Now he saw one fly up, but the other crow still stayed in the tree. Robert Jordan looked up towards Primitivo's place high in the rocks. He saw Primitivo watching out over the country below, but he made no signal. The other crow was still there in the tree.
I have a real massacre for thee tomorrow morning. It is necessary to exterminate the post at the sawmill.
I am ready. Pablo has rotted us here with inaction. Get thee down.
Looking up, he saw Primitivo's rifle raised and lowered four times.
Cavalry.
Agustin looked at him, and his dark, sunken cheeks widened at their base as he grinned. Robert Jordan noticed he was sweating. They saw the four horsemen ride out of the trees. One horseman was ahead, following the horse tracks. The other three came behind him, fanned out through the timber. They were all watching carefully. Robert Jordan saw them clearly over the blued steel barrel of the automatic rifle. The leader turned his horse directly toward the opening in the rocks where the gun was placed, and Robert Jordan saw his young, close-set eyes and overlong, wedge-shaped chin. The leader pointed toward the opening where the gun was.
Tabron.
Robert Jordan looked along the barrel at the four riders stopped there in the snow. Thou, he thought, thinking in Spanish, thou art dead now, in thy youth. And thou, he thought, and thou, and thou. But let it not happen. Do not let it happen. He felt Agustin beside him start to cough, felt him hold it, choke and swallow. Then, as he looked along the oiled blue of the barrel, he saw the leader turn his horse and point into the timber where Pablo's trail led. The four of them trotted into the timber.
Cabrones, we could have killed all four.
They came into sight trotting along the edge of the timber in columns of twos. 20 mounted men, armed and uniformed as the others had been, their sabers swinging, their carbines in their holsters. And then they went down into the timber as the others had.
These would we have had to deal with if we had destroyed the others. What do you think of their chance of catching Pablo?
Pablo is smart. Clearly he is only a joke of what he once was. But it is not for nothing that he is alive and comfortable in these hills, and able to drink himself to death while there are so many others that have died against a wall.
Is he as smart as they say?
Smarter. If he were not smart, he would have died last night. It seems to me you do not understand politics, Inglés, nor guerrilla warfare. The first thing is to continue to exist. Look how he continued to exist last night.
Soon they were eating breakfast, and the sky above the sentry point was high and clear. The snow was going fast, and the wind blew warm on Robert Jordan's shoulders.
Hast thou a wife?
No.
Me neither.
Right now you have the Maria. Inglés. I have never touched her, nor had anything to do with her. But I care for her greatly. You do not understand how such a girl would have been if there had been no revolution. You have much responsibility. Do not treat her lightly.
I understand, camarada.
It is because of the lack of time that there's been informality.
If I can aid thee, if I could do anything for thee or for the Crofton.
They are fighting at El Sordo's camp.
Well, then let's go to aid them.
No.
You collect the people.
No, we stay here. You stay with this gun, and unless it is sure that they are coming in, do not fire. Do you understand?
Yes.
I will explain to thee later. I go to Primitivo.
The gray boulders were wet now under his hands as he pulled himself up. Then he stood beside Primitivo in a hollow behind two boulders. He saw, far off across the distant valley where the country rose steeply again, a troop of cavalry ride out of the timber and cross the snowy slope, riding uphill in the direction of the firing.
Have to aid them.
It is impossible. I've expected this all morning. El Sordo and his men went to steal horses for us last night. The snow stopped and the fascists tracked them.
We cannot leave them alone to this. They are our comrades.
They are lost. They were lost when the snow stopped. If we go there, we are lost too. It is impossible to divide what force we have.
Listen to it. It is a massacre.
You have to stand it. There are things like this in a war.
God and the Virgin, kill the fascists. Destroy them, God and the Virgin, please. Please, kill the fascists. God and the Virgin,
so,
kill the fascists.
It is Comasordo. Doubtless because of the horses.
Probably. Have you packed?
All that can be taken.
Is there news of Pablo?
He was 40 minutes ahead of the cavalry. They took his trail, but they will not find him. You think it's over?
No. From the sound that we heard, the fascists have attacked and been fought off. Now I would say they have El Sordo surrounded and they wait for the plains. Primitivo wanted to go up there.
Keva! Thou wilt die soon enough with us. There's no need to ask that with strangers.
There are women of a stupidity and brutality that is insupportable. Sordo was a good comrade of mine.
And not of mine. In war, one cannot say what one feels. We are all in the same cauldron.
It was 3 o'clock in the afternoon. The snow had all been gone by noon, and the rocks were hot now in the sun. At intervals, there would be the sound of a shot from the direction of El Sordo's camp, but the firing was desultory. Robert Jordan sat in the rocks in the sun and reading the letters that Andres, the younger brother, had brought him from the pockets of the dead cavalrymen. From examining his military papers, he knew the dead boy was from Tafalla in Navarra, 20 years old, unmarried, and the son of a blacksmith. I've probably seen him run through the streets ahead of the bulls at the feria in Pamplona, Robert Jordan thought. You never kill anyone that you want to kill in a war, he said to himself. Well, hardly ever, he amended. He did not want to read the other letters. I guess I've done my good deed for today, he said to himself.
Was there anything interesting?
No, they are personal letters.
From what town is he?
The fire.
And he was your age, Robert Jordan thought. All right, he said to himself. I'm sorry if that does any good. Looking up, he saw the fascist planes, 5 of them, headed for El Sordo's.
Cabrones!
It is over.
Yes.
Listen, I have no fear to die, but to leave them alone...
There was no choice. And now it is better not to speak of it.
As Anselmo waited at his surveillance spot by the road, he saw the cavalry returning from the hills. He counted the dead and the wounded, and he recognized El Sordo's automatic rifle. A poncho-wrapped bundle flapped against the lead horse's flanks as the stirrup leather swung. Anselmo wondered what it was. On his way back to camp, he came in the dark onto the hill where El Sordo had fought. And he knew at once what the long poncho roll contained.
Most kind, most sweet, most clement virgin.
It was the first time he had prayed since the start of the movement.
I will do exactly as the English says and as he says to do it. Help me, O Lord, tomorrow to comport myself as a man should in his last hours. Help me, O Lord, to understand clearly the needs of the day. Help me, O Lord, to dominate the movement of my legs that I should not run when the bad moment comes.
Anselmo found Robert Jordan sitting at the plank table inside the cave with Pablo opposite him. They had a bowl poured full of wine between them, and each had a cup of wine on the table. Pablo stared straight at the table. His eyes were focused on the wine bowl, but he was not seeing it.
I come from Sordos.
Pablo has told us.
There were six dead on the hill, and they'd taken their heads.
Sit down. Drink that, old one.
Can I have another?
Tell me. Mm-hmm. What passes on the road?
There was much movement.
Did you see anti-tank guns?
Four. And much more. Have it all noted down as you showed me.
Anselmo told him everything he had seen move past him on the road. He told it from the beginning and in order, with the wonderful memory of those who cannot read or write. And twice, while he was talking, Pablo reached out for more wine from the bowl.
Viejo, I sure you do not exaggerate.
No. It is marked. They've been mobilizing all day.
Who beside you has been through the lines at the side of the Republic?
The brothers. Andres and Eladio.
Which is the better of those two?
Andres. He can get to Navathorada in 3 hours.
I am sending a note to the general. He must absolutely get there.
If nothing happens, he will get there. If anything happens, it could happen to anyone.
Get Andres now, and I will explain to him.
Right.
Inglés.
I am writing.
Listen, Inglés, there's no need to be disheartened. I have admired thy judgment much today. We will have plenty of people to take thy post and blow thy bridge.
Robert Jordan was concentrating on his report to Goltz, trying to put it in the fewest words and still make it absolutely convincing. Trying to put it so the attack would be cancelled. Absolutely. You cannot make a surprise attack against an enemy that is waiting for it.
English.
I am writing.
What do I know about why this attack is made? Maybe it is only a holding attack. Maybe they want to draw all those troops from somewhere else.
English.
What do you say?
That I have confidence, English.
Later, Robert Jordan walked down from the sentry post. He had done everything that there was to do that night. All orders had been given. Andres had been gone 3 hours. Either the attack would come now with the coming of the daylight, or it would not come. But he knew it would come. You are going to have to blow that bridge, he suddenly knew absolutely. But you must not worry, nor must you be frightened. Think of something concrete and practical. Robert Jordan reached instinctively for his pistol. It was a Smith & Wesson 32, and it had the softest, sweetest trigger pull he had ever felt. His father had shot himself with this pistol. You better not think at all, he told himself. Soon you will be with Maria, and you won't have to think. Coming down the trail, there in the dark, the knowledge that he would surely have to blow the bridge came to him almost with comfort. Soon they were in the robe again together, and it was late in the last night. He lay very quiet and did not think, and she stroked his head with her hand.
Roberto, should we speak of tomorrow and of thy work? I would like to be intelligent about thy work.
He suddenly surrendered to something, to the luxury of going into unreality.
Let us talk of Madrid and of us in Madrid.
Where will we stay in Madrid?
We will stay in a hotel on the Plaza del Callao. There is a wide bed with clean sheets. There is hot running water in the bathtub. There are tall, wide windows that open. And I will marry thee.
Roberto, the Pilar told me something.
say it.
The Pilar told me that we would all die tomorrow and that you give it no importance. She said this not in criticism, but in admiration.
She's a manure-mouthed, superstitious bitch. Let us talk again of Madrid.
But there was no slipping into make-believe again. Now he was just lying to this girl and to himself to pass the night before battle. And he knew it.
Grab it. Tell me of your family.
Well, my father was the mayor of the village and a Republican. My mother was not. But they shot her with my father because of his politics. I saw both of them shot, and my father said, "Viva la Republica," when they shot him standing against the wall of the slaughterhouse of our village. My mother, standing against the same wall, said, "Viva my husband, who was the mayor of this village, and I hoped they would shoot me too." And I was going to say, "Viva la Republica, y vivan mis padres." But instead there was no shooting. But instead the doing of the things.
My rabbit, I love thee, hearest thou? Thou art my wife. But go to sleep, my rabbit, for there is little time now.
Good night, my husband.
Good night, wife.
He heard her breathing steadily and regularly now, and he knew she was asleep. He thought of all the part she had not told him, and he lay there hating, and he was pleased there would be killing in the morning.
Inglés. Inglés. Pablo is gone.
When?
Must be an hour.
And?
He has taken something of thine.
Robert Jordan knelt and shone the torch on the two sacks. There was a long slit from top to bottom in each one. In the first one, the square wooden box of the exploder was gone. So was the cigar box with the detonators and the screw-top tin with the fuse and the caps. Robert Jordan felt in the other sack. It was still full of explosive. There was perhaps one packet missing.
I slept with my head resting on them, one arm touching them.
You slept well.
I have failed thee, and I have failed the Republic.
As she said this, Robert Jordan realized that he could not afford the luxury of being bitter. He had to work with this woman on that day that was already 2 hours and more gone.
It is nothing, Pilar. We shall improvise something that will do as well. Get thee some sleep.
Salud, Militianos!
Andres was across the lines and had reached the first government position, a parapet in the rock.
Don't shoot, comrades! I am Andres Lopez from Villaconejos, from the band of Pablo, with a message!
How many are you?
I am alone! Let me come in!
Let me shoot him!
For the love of God, this message is important!
Listen, fascist!
I am not a fascist! I am a guerrillo from the band of Pablo, with a message for the general staff!
Andres was nearly at the parapet now, and he saw three men with black and red scarves, and was relieved. He knew now he was up against the anarchist crazies.
Viva la libertad!
Viva el anarcosindicalismo y la libertad!
Viva nosotros!
Welcome, comrade. I'm glad I did not shoot you. Let me see thy papers.
Robert Jordan lay in the robe beside the girl Maria, who was still sleeping.
It's all figured out, Guapa. It can still be done with what we have. We'll all be killed, but we'll blow the bridge. That isn't much of a wedding present. Sleep well, my beloved. I do not wake thee. That is all I can do for thee now.
I have been all my life in these hills since I have been here, he thought. Anselmo is my oldest friend. Agustin is my brother, and I never had a brother. Maria is my true love and my wife. I never had a true love. I never had a wife. I hate to leave a thing that is so good. They were in the cave, and the men were standing before the fire Maria was fanning. Pilar had coffee ready in a pot. She had not gone back to bed at all since she had roused Robert Jordan, and now she was sitting on a stool in the smoky cave, sewing the rip in one of Jordan's packs. The other pack was already sewed.
Take more of the stew, Augustine. What does it matter if that belly should be full? There's no doctor to operate if you take a goring.
A woman now has the tongue of the great whore.
Robert Jordan squatted by a panier of grenades and pulled out four. I could unscrew the detonators and just use them, he thought. I don't think the fragmentation will have any bad effect.
Are you going to be throwing bombs, Inglis?
Why not?
But crouched there, what he was thinking was, it is impossible. How I could have deceived myself about it, I do not know. There are nine of us. I need Anselmo's help to blow the bridge that leave just six and the girl to take both of the fascist posts to stop them from interrupting our work. We were as sunk when they attacked El Sordo as El Sordo was sunk when the snow stopped. Pablo knew that all the time. God damn Pablo to hell, he thought.
Inglis, the Maria can hold the horses by herself. I'll go to the lower post and do that which was the duty of Pablo. In this way, we are one more.
Good.
How are you doing, old one?
Oh, so far very well, see. My hands are steady.
Look, mine too. But can you spit, Fernando?
You filthy mule! Spit in the fire if thou must vaunt thy courage.
Well, I would not have spat on the floor, Pilar, if we were not leaving this place.
Robert Jordan smiled at Maria, and as he did, he saw her mouth open and the unbelieving look come on her face, and he swung toward the cave mouth, reaching for his pistol.
Thou! Me. Hola, Inglis.
There, holding the blanket aside with one hand, was Pablo. Standing short, wide, bristly-faced, his small red-rimmed eyes looking toward no one in particular.
I have five from the bands of Elias and Alejandro above with their horses.
And my exploder and detonators? And the other material?
I threw them down the gorge into the river. But I thought perhaps we could detonate using a grenade.
You're lucky we can.
I had a moment of weakness. I went away, but I am come back. At bottom, I am not a coward.
But you are very many other things, Robert Jordan thought. But I'm glad to see you, you son of a bitch.
Five was all I could get. Nine of you could never have done it, never. When I left, I thought you would know that it was impossible and would give it up. Then, after I'd thrown away thy material, I saw it in another manner. I found myself too lonely. Yesterday, all day alone, working for the good of all, I was not lonely. Having done such a thing, there is a loneliness that cannot be borne.
That cannot be borne. That cannot be borne by thee for 15 minutes. Thy predecessor, Judas Iscariot, hanged himself. Who are these people thee brought? Has brought anything worth bringing?
Some buenos, good ones and stupids. Ready to die and all the way you like them.
In the dark, they came up the hill to the narrow pass at the top. Seeing Pablo again had broken the pattern of tragedy into which the whole operation had seemed grooved ever since the snow. And instead of the surety of failure, Robert Jordan felt confidence.
Salud!
Salud!
Que me maten if it is not Pepe! How are you, shepherd?
Good. Dentro de la gravedad. Pablo, did you bring any more grenades?
Plenty. Now keep their mouths shut and follow me. Yeah.
Once inside the Republican lines, Andres had reached a battalion commander named Gomez, who gave him a drink of bad brandy and told him that he himself had always wanted to be a guerrillero. Gomez had decided to take him to brigade headquarters himself in order to expedite things, and summoned his motorcycle. Now, with Andres holding tight onto the seat where Gomez was forking the motor, they roared down a shell-pocked mountain road. The headlight showed the gray bulk of the empty trucks coming down from the mountains. There were trucks loaded with troops moving up the road, too. Gomez and Andres speeded up and passed one and another, past ambulances, staff cars, armored cars, and more trucks again.
What an army! What a mechanization! Vaya gente!
Andres had never seen an offensive, or any of the preparations for one before. And as they rode up the road, he marveled at the size and power of this army that the Republic had built.
Venga, Andres. Come.
Captain Gomez of the 65th Brigade! We must speak with General Hotz immediately!
Agustin, you and Anselmo come now with me to the bridge. Pilar, thou understandest that there is to be no attack on the post until thou hearest the falling of the bombs.
How many times does thou have to tell me? You're getting like an old woman, Inglés. So I say, guard these horses well, Maria.
Pablo, dost thou understand all?
Yes, yes.
Anselmo and I will each shoot a sentry on the bridge, then blow the bridge. Agustin covers us with the máquina. Pilar will attack the post above at the sawmill, cut the telephone, and fall back to the bridge. You attack the post below at the roadmender's hut.
Destroy the post, cut the wire, fall back on the bridge, cover the bridge until thou blowest. But Inglés, to retreat to Grados, there is still a lack of horses.
I go on foot, the horses are thy affair.
Nay, no, there will be a horse for thee, Inglés. There will be horses for all of us.
And that is thy problem. Thou dost not have to count me.
I wonder what the bastard is planning now, Robert Jordan thought. But I am pretty sure I know. Thank God I do not know these new men.
Suerte, Pablo.
Robert Jordan slung his pack on his back and walked over to the horses to find Maria. He had an unreal feeling about all of this now, as though he had done it all before. He had not felt this young since he had taken the train to go away to school for the first time.
Roberta,
I will see thee soon. Do not worry when you hear the firing. There is bound to be much firing.
Nay. Only come back quickly.
Goodbye, Guapa. Goodbye, Rabbit.
Goodbye, my Roberto.
Anselmo, Agustin, and Robert Jordan dropped carefully down the steep wooded hillside to the point above the bridge where Robert Jordan and Anselmo had watched the first day.
From now on, speak little and softly.
They put the packs down behind the base of the pine trunks and followed Anselmo over to the level place where there was a clump of seedling pines.
Here that will lie while we prepare the exploding and fire with the Mackinac on anything that comes from above or below.
Nada más. Well, nothing more.
I will go now to cross the gorge and be in position at the other end.
When I fire, thou wilt fire. Do not think of it as a man, but as a target, De Acuerdo. Thou art a hunter. When thy man is eliminated, cross the bridge to me.
I will do as thou orderest.
Until soon, old one.
At the 69th Brigade Observation Post, Andres, waiting for General Goltz, watched the Republican planes coming, very proud. He saw the red wing markings now, and he knew that soon the planes would pass overhead and bombs would fall on the fascists. Then the tanks and troops he had just seen would push through after them, reclaiming the land for the Republic. This was how it could be.
I am General Holtz. Where is this message?
Andres did not know what the message said, but he had an idea, looking at Goltz's suddenly shaking hands.
They know.
They know.
It is too late to stop now.
Goltz felt sick at his stomach. The fascists knew about the offensive. There would be no troops on the targeted ridges. They'd be withdrawn a little way below. And when the bombers passed, they'd get back up there with their machine guns and their automatic weapons and the anti-tank guns Jordan had said went up the road, and it would be one famous balls up more.
Cigarette, comrade?
Andres accepted the general's cigarette. He watched the planes, proud still of how things could be, believing in how they could be, even if they never were. Robert Jordan loved this hour of the day always, and now he watched it as though he were a part of the slow lightning that comes before the rising of the sun. Below, he saw the steel of the bridge, straight and rigid across the gap, with the wooden sentry boxes at each end. Raising his binoculars, he watched the sentry in his box as he leaned against the wall, drawing on a cigarette. "I won't look at him again," he told himself. A long time passed, and it seemed that it was never coming, that nothing could happen on such a lovely late May morning. The sentry reached for his rifle and stepped forward into the road with the sun shining on him as he looked up into the sky toward where the planes were bombing. Robert Jordan felt the quick, liquid, spastic lurching of the gun against his shoulder, and on the road the sentry, looking surprised and hurt, slid forward on his knees, and his forehead doubled to the road. As Robert Jordan reached the bridge, the old man came running toward him, holding his carbine in one hand.
I got him!
Robert Jordan, kneeling, opening the packs in the center of the bridge, taking out his material, saw that tears were running down Anselmo's cheeks through the gray beard stubble.
I killed one too.
Yes, man, yes. We have to kill them, and we kill them.
The girders were cold and wet with dew under his hands, and he climbed carefully. He was sweating heavily now, and it was cool under the bridge. He had a coil of wire around one arm, and a pair of pliers hung by a cord from his wrist.
Hand me that down, a package at a time, viejo.
The old man leaned far over the edge, handing down the oblong blocks of explosive, and Robert Jordan reached up for them, shoved them in where he wanted them, and packed them close.
Winches, viejo!
They were still firing up the road where Pilar was at the upper post. Too damn much firing, and he was lashing two grenades side by side on top of the braced blocks of explosive, winding wire over their corrugations so they would hold tight and firm.
The other side now, viejo!
On the other side, he looked up and saw Anselmo's face as he reached the packages of explosive down to him. Goddamn good face, he thought. Not crying now.
Where's his viejo?
This side now, and we're done. This will drop it like what all. Come on. Don't get excited. Do it. Clean and fast as the last one. Take your time. You can't lose now. Nobody can keep you from blowing one side now. Pilar has got in trouble at the sawmill. They're still shooting. It's quiet down below with Pablo. I hope to God they don't have any armored cars come up or any tanks. Go on. Put it in just as fast as you can and wedge it tight and lash it fast.
Almost through. Give me the big coil of wire.
For God's sake, don't loosen them any yet, Robert Jordan thought, as he felt the rings that would release the levers on the hand grenades. God damn, I wish I still had my detonators. He attached a length of wire to one ring, wired it onto the main wire that ran to the ring of the outside grenade, paid off some slack, then handed the coil up to Anselmo. He climbed up onto the bridge, took the coil from the old man, and walked back as fast as he could, paying out wire from the coil as he walked. It was then, looking up, that he saw those who were coming back from the upper post. Eladio was not with them.
How does it go?
Primitivo and Rafael were supporting Fernando. He looked to be shot through the groin, for he was holding himself there with both hands, while the man and the boy held him on either side. Pilar was climbing the bank into the timber, carrying three rifles.
We're almost finished! Wait in the trees! We'll go to the horses together!
Robert Jordan carried the wire clear past the end of the bridge and stopped beside a stone marker.
Hold this, Viejo. Hold it easily but firmly. Do not put any force on it. When thou pullest hard, hard, the bridge will blow. Comprendes?
Yes.
I must fix the other wire now. But blow it if tanks come. Only if they come onto it. Blow it if armored cars come. If they come onto it. Anything else, Augustine will stop. I fix the other wire and come back. Take no account of me. Blow it if thou needest to.
Anselmo watched Robert Jordan run up the bridge and climb down under it and out of sight, then crouched behind the stone marker. He turned his head to where Fernando was speaking to Primitivo and the gypsy at the bank of the road.
Please, leave me here. It hurts much and there is much hemorrhage inside.
Let us get thee into the trees. It is not far.
And then afterwards, up to the horses. And the riding. There is no question of my travelling with this. Thus it gives one horse more.
Anselmo could see he was suffering much. Fernando held both hands against his groin now, and his face was grey and sweating.
Leave me now, please. I am in a very good position here. Both for up the road and for the bridge. Anything you need me for, advise me.
The edges of his lips were twitching. Primitivo started up the slope after the gypsy, who was climbing fast. Fernando shut his eyes again, and the pain lurched in him. Anselmo looked away from him and out onto the bridge. He did not feel afraid now at all, and he had not been afraid all the day. It goes so fast, and it is so normal, he thought. I hated the shooting of the guard, and it made me an emotion. But that is past now.
Viejo! How's the road?
Still clear!
As he crouched behind the marker stone, Anselmo did not feel in any way alone. He was one with the wire in his hand, and one with the bridge, and one with the charges the Inglés had placed. He was one with the Inglés, still working under the bridge. And he was one with all of the battle and with the Republic. There was no excitement, and he was not happy. But he was neither lonely nor afraid. Robert Jordan swung the coil of wire up onto the bridge with one hand and then pulled himself up after it. He heard the automatic gunfire and felt it in the pit of his stomach. Ah, hell, he thought. Pablo's dealing with a tank around there. I better set this wire fast.
Viejo, get ready!
He walked, paying out wire, and he looked back at the bend of the road. But it was still clear of any car or tank or men. It was still clear when he was halfway to the end of the bridge, and it was still clear as he climbed around behind the sentry box. Then he was on the road, and now he was almost opposite Anselmo's stone, and it was still clear below the bridge.
Blow her!
The center section of the bridge was gone. There were jagged pieces of steel on the bridge with their bright new turn edges and ends, and these were all over the road. Fernando was still lying against the bank holding his groin. He was not breathing. The old man, Anselmo, lay face down behind the white marking stone. His left arm was doubled under his head, and his right arm was stretched straight out. The loop of wire was still around his right fist. Robert Jordan did not turn him over to see what the piece of steel had done. He was dead, and that was all. He looked very small. Dead, Robert Jordan thought.
Inglés!
Damn you. Damn you and Pablo both. If I had had the exploder, the old man would not have been killed. I could have blown it from here.
Thy bridge is blown, Inglés. Don't forget that. If there'd been no snow, if we'd had Sordo...
Slowly he began to accept it and let the hate go out. Sure. The snow, that had done it. Once you saw it again, as it was to others, once you got rid of your own self. The always ridding of self that you had to do in war.
I'm sorry. The bridge is blown. Go to the horses. I must help Agustin with the machina.
Once Pilar had taken the others and moved further up to the horses, Robert Jordan circled through the pines.
What passes below? Doesn't Pablo know the bridge is done?
They saw Pablo come running around the corner of the bend in the road. At the sheer rock where the road went out of sight, they saw him stop and fire the short cavalry automatic rifle back up the road. Then, without looking back, he came running, short, bow-legged, fast, his head bent down, straight toward the bridge. Robert Jordan pushed Agustin over, and he had the stock of the big automatic rifle against his shoulder and was sighting on the bend of the road. Nothing. Pablo reached the blown bridge and scrambled down into the gorge. It was then Robert Jordan saw the low-bodied, angled snout and squat turret with the projecting machine gun come around the bend into the bright sun.
Cabron. Is that the famous tanks? Hit him again!
I cannot hurt him. I don't want him to see where we are.
Here comes the fat son of a bitch.
Let's go.
What did you encounter?
Everything. What passed with Pilar?
She lost Fernando and Eladio.
And now?
I lost Anselmo. Where are your men?
There were lots of horses, even for the baggage.
And thy people?
All dead. We have plenty of horses now, Ingas.
The murderous bastard, Robert Jordan thought. You're working with a murderer.
What were you shooting at? At the bend? Did you shoot them all?
Shut up. I have to look after thy interest and that of the band. I have fought much today and well. Ask the Ingas.
And now get us through today. For it is thee that has the plan for this.
Now they could see the sun coming down on the horses through the pine branches, and Robert Jordan saw Maria. And the next thing, he was holding her tight, tight, with the automatic rifle pressed against his ribs.
Thou, Roberto, art thou here, truly?
Yes, rabbit. My good, good rabbit. And now we go. Mount. Get on that saddle, guapa.
How do we go, old one?
Straight down. Across the road, up the far slope, and into the timber where it narrows.
Across the road? The tank will be just across the bridge.
It is the only way, man. Thou couldst come at the end if thou will, Ingas. We cross high enough to be out of the range of that machina, but we will go separately and riding much, and then be together where it narrows above. Aye.
As they rode, Robert Jordan was looking through the thinning trees. He saw the oiled dark of the road below. We are around 800 yards above the bridge, he thought. That is not out of range for the Fiat in that little tank if they have come up to the bridge.
Oh, oh. Rabbit, go second as they cross the road. Second is good. It is later they're always watching for.
But thou...
I will go suddenly. Now go!
Robert Jordan saw Pablo dig his spurs in and plunge down the last pine needle slope. The others came behind him, and Robert Jordan saw them crossing the road and slamming on up the green slope beyond. Two small fountains of earth rose with plumes of gray smoke just behind the riders in the grass as they continued for the tree line. Robert Jordan rode 50 yards up through the trees. At the edge of the trees, he looked down at the bridge. He could see men on what remained of the bridge, and what looked like a traffic jam on the other side.
Whoa.
The tank, and behind that, a larger tank that flashed yellow, bright as a mirror.
Come on, you son of a bitch! Hurry, caballo!
Robert Jordan was under the gray horse, and the gray horse was kicking. He could move to the right, but his left leg stayed perfectly flat under the horse. It was as though there was a new joint in it. As the gray horse kneed itself up, Robert Jordan felt with his two hands on his thigh and felt the sharp bone where it pressed against the skin. The grass was green where he sat, and there were meadow flowers in it. And he looked down the slope across to the road and the bridge and the gorge and the road and saw the tank and waited for the next flash. Primitivo and Agustin had him under the armpits and were dragging him up the last slope, and the new joint in his leg let it swing any way the ground swung it. And then they had him up to the shelter of the long draw in the timber where the horses were, and Maria, Pilar, and Pablo were standing over him.
Roberto, what hast thou?
The left leg is broken. Let me speak to Pablo.
Does it hurt much?
No. I think the nerve is crushed. Listen, I'm done. I will talk to the girl a moment. When I say to take her. She will want to stay.
There is not much time.
Guapa.
Roberto.
Guapa, listen. We will not be going to Madrid. No, don't. We will not go to Madrid now, but I will go always with thee, wherever thou goest. As long as there is one of us, there is both of us. Do you understand?
Nay, I will stay with thee.
You must go for us both. You are me now.
No.
Rabbit, thou art me too now. Thou art all there will be of me. Stand up.
Maria, vámonos!
He turned his head, sweating, and looked past Agustin down the slope, then back toward the girl. She was now in the saddle with Pilar by her. And Pablo just behind.
Now go, don't look around.
Roberto, let me stay.
I am with thee. I am with thee now.
Do you want me to shoot thee, Inglés?
Get along, I'm very well here. Look well after the cropped head, wilt thou?
God, what bitchery is war? Salute, Inglés.
Salute.
Agustin was crying, so he could not see Robert Jordan clearly. He raised his right fist, brought it down, nodded, and rode up the draw. Now Robert Jordan was alone with his back against a tree. It will be coming soon now, he thought. He looked down the hill slope again.
I hate to leave it.
I hate to leave it, he thought. I hate to leave it very much, and I hope I have done some good in it. I have fought for what I believed in for a year now. If we win here, we will win everywhere. The world is a fine place and worth the fighting for, and I hate very much to leave it. And you had a lot of luck, he told himself, to have had such a good life.
Take it easy.
You take it easy now, he said. Get turned over and useful now, while you still have time, Jordan. I wish it would come, he thought. I do not want to get in any sort of mixed-up state before they come. I don't want to do that business that my father did. His leg was hurting very badly now. I can't wait any longer now, he said. If I wait any longer, I'll pass out. And if they take me and bring me too, it will be no good. Maybe I'll just do it now.
Let me just do it. Let me just do it.
But there is something you can do yet. If you can wait and hold them up even a little while, or just get the officer, that may make all the difference for Maria.
All right.
Robert Jordan's luck held very good, because he saw just then the cavalry ride out of the timber and cross the road. He watched them coming, riding up the slope. An officer came trotting up now on the trail of the horses of the band, and he would pass 20 yards below where Robert Jordan lay. At that distance, there would be no problem. Robert Jordan lay behind the tree, holding on to himself very carefully and delicately to keep his hands steady. He was waiting until the officer reached the sunlit place where the first trees of the pine forest joined the green slope of the meadow. He could feel his heart beating against the pine needle floor of the forest.
In For Whom the Bell Tolls by Ernest Hemingway, Robert Jordan was played by Patrick Kennedy, Pilar by Melanie Kilburn, Pablo by Ralph Ineson, and Maria by Leah Brotherhead. Anselmo was played by Michael Burtonshaw, Raphael by Sean Mason, Augustine, Paul Heath, and Primitivo by David Acton. Eladio was Ian Conningham, Andres, Arthur Hughes, and Fernando, Monty D'Inverno. The narrator was Colin Stinton. The guitar was played by Ramon Ruiz. For Whom the Bell Tolls was adapted by Ed Heim, and the director was Sasha Yevtushenko.
Coming up after the news, Mariella Frostrup with Open Book.
60 years ago, the French critic Roland Barthes dissected the icons of his age.
He just saw how genuinely mysterious and mythological the world of pop culture could be.
Now, the writer Peter Conrad takes apart today's culture, analysing everything from celebrity pets to the e-reader.
Electronic text lacks texture. When you hold a real book, your fingers and even your nose tell you you're dealing with an organic product.
Modern life through a new lens on BBC Radio 4. 21st Century Mythologies continues Monday to Friday at noon, and all the episodes are available on the BBC Radio 4 website.